Text or WhatsApp your view to Greg on 086 60 25,000.
And good morning again. Thank you to all of you who have texted in so far. Hi Greg, I sent away for a new passport and three children's renewals in April. Eventually received all four back last week after sending new photos, as the ones I sent weren't good enough and I needed to resend my marriage cert. So all in all, 3 months wait. That's significant. We were applying for a passport recently, a first time passport, and I think I mentioned this before, but anyway, be that as it may. And it was taking ages and ages and ages and ages and ages. But, you know, you'd go onto the passport tracker and the bar would still continue to fill up. And then it went back to zero. Got a letter saying that they tried to ring the Garda station and couldn't get through. So make sure whoever's signing it is available. I went to a smaller station, and if they ring and the person is not there, I think they ring them a couple of times, that's it, out the window. So they sent everything back and haven't had the resolve to start the process again for further disappointment. Morning, Greg. Renewed my prescription from the doctors yesterday. Up to €25 from €15 and €60 for a GP visit. Was just wondering, is this in all areas now? Okay, that's their experience. Greg, have you ever tried to report anything to the Garda? Not great experience. When you're finished with the interview, you think it's you that did wrong. Well, I shouldn't feel like that. I haven't, so I don't know. I can't talk to that because I've never done it. But you saying that you felt it was you were up to no good or something, okay. Is that someone else's experience? Because if it is, I'm sure the Garda would appreciate feedback on that, like what could change, what needs to be done. Have you reported something to the Garda and by the time you were finished with giving your statement, you felt it might have been you that did something wrong, or that's how you were made feel? I wonder, is that the exception rather than the rule? A caller says, farmers 60 years ago took a day to plough an acre of land. Corn, barley was cut by horse. This work took 10 times longer than today. There was plenty of good weather for months to get it done. Nowadays, it's rushed to try and get the crop in and harvest. We've private wells and it hasn't dried up. It always just keeps us going. No change in water level. To me, there's no global warming. It's the world doing what it's designed to do. Greg, as for artificial intelligence, the ship has sailed with regards to the public having a say. This is happening all around us. Even in our own Donegal, we see the taking over of jobs. Jobs are suffering and being replaced in hospitality in the shopping sector. It's sad to see it happening now in rural Ireland, so the public have no say. We simply have to just deal with it, which is a shame, they say. What about the winter of 2010? Lasted for 3 months, indeed. That was a weather event rather than a climate event, they would say. People looking at the weather are only going back 30 years because they know if they go back any further, the public will realise it is all normal. Weather in Europe is also normal. High temperatures have always been there. Perhaps if more effort was put into stopping war, there'd be less issue with the climate disaster which is killing the world. The scooters could travel on the cycle routes. On a slightly similar note, cyclists should be fined for cycling on the road when there is a cycleway provided for them. Millions of euros spent providing these cycleways and cars and lorries held up on the road by the cyclist. That is an ongoing frustration. But then you see, you talk to people who dress up in all the Tour de France gear, and I've asked them in the past, why don't they use the cycle lanes instead of the road? They say the cycle lanes, firstly, they want to cycle on the road. And secondly, at the speed they're travelling, there's other people walking on the cycle lanes, potentially, if they're a shared space, or that they're not of a high enough standard for travelling at 30 or 40 miles per hour on a bike. Another caller said, someone cycling on footpath is the least of your worries in Letterkenny. Lots of drunks and thieves on the street, is what they're saying. Is that a reality or is that a perception? Don't understand why electric scooters are not treated the same as a moped. Well, they will be over 25 kilometres per hour, or it's also down to battery wattage, 250 watts, I think. I don't know off the top of my head. I read about it some time ago. But they won't all be. Your bikes that you pedal along with them, they're classed as regular bikes, and scooters that go slower will be treated as push bikes. And then the faster ones, the ones that go over 25 kilometres per hour, though, you know, can you imagine? It seems very fast on a vehicle of that size with zero protection. But anyway, they will be treated effectively like a, well, not like a moped, but like a motor-propelled vehicle. Greg, just listening to the news there, the council offering Ukrainian housing under some scheme. I'm in the housing list for 20 years and never even received an offer of a house or a flat yet. How does this work out? I'm in the Bunkrana area. I didn't hear that piece. I'll have a listen back and see what the terms are, what the function of that scheme is. The HSC have been on to say they'd like to advise that phone lines are down at Bunkrana Primary Care Centre. It's hoped that they'll have them restored as soon as possible, so we'll keep you updated on that. Shall I do another couple more comments here just before we take a break for the bingo numbers? Greg, why is there such a lack of support for our ladies' team in the World Cup tomorrow? If this was the men, we'd have been listening to it non-stop from the day they qualified, coming in from Anthony. I don't know. It's about the public interest as well. I mean, but that being said, are we unhappy with the level of interest in the media? Let me see. Pages. Right, well, they're on the front page of the Star. They're on the front page of the Irish Daily Mail. Free inside Women's World Cup pullout. Let's go to the Sun. Nothing in the Sun. But we've got Amber Barrett on the back of the Sun. The Irish Daily Mail. Nothing on the front of it. Nothing on the back of it either, for that matter. The Irish Independent, world class. The captain and the super sub helping Ireland scale new heights in the global stage. It's on the back as well. The Irish Times. Barrett's bench press, Ireland super sub, ready to make impact. So it's on the front of that paper. And so it goes. So, I mean, the papers, in fairness to them, are covering it. So, Anthony, are you talking about like us in the... I think if it were in Europe, it might be a little bit easier, because I'm thinking, what games am I going to be able to watch? There's a screen here, but I don't think I could do this program successfully, as much as one would call it a success, and also follow a football match. So tell us a bit more about what you mean by that, Anthony, and we'll tease it out a little bit. I imagine if there's a good result, we like to jump on bandwagons, so if they maybe pull off something good against Australia, I think all of a sudden the World Cup fever might grip the country more so. Let me say a happy birthday to Megan Gallen in Ballybuffet. Happy birthday, Megan, from Mum and Dad in Killygordon. Hello, John Wallace, please wish good luck and all the best on the wedding day to Jane McGoohan and Dean Boyce. Thanks. Okay, that's one for Lee's show that ended up in my pile. All right, back after the bingo numbers. Okay, well, Department of Finance officials have offered scant hope that tourism and hospitality firms will secure a further extension in the reduced VAT rate of 9% for their sector. The reduced rate of VAT for the sector is due to come to an end at the end of next month, following a six-month extension agreed by the government designed to help businesses fully recover from the fallout of the pandemic. However, the Tax Strategy Group papers state that the reduced rate has so far cost the Exchequer $1.2 billion and represents a very significant investment in hospitality and tourism. Joe Daly is co-owner of Key West Restaurant in Donegal and joins us now. Joe, thanks for taking the time to speak to us.
Delighted to be here, Greg. Thank you very much for the opportunity to talk about this.
Right. So in business terms, what impact would it have if the 9% VAT rate is scrapped and we return to 3.5%?
Do you know what, Greg? It'll absolutely decimate our sector because we are still struggling to get back on our feet as a result from the pandemic. And this is only going to wipe out small businesses like restaurants and cafes. We only have one revenue stream and that's just the food route, right? I'm not going to be... I kind of want to kind of separate out hotels and restaurants because I think there should be a different VAT rate for hotels because they have revenue from their rooms and bars and food and stuff like that, whereas small independent cafes and restaurants, all we have is the food route. And it will wipe us out. And I'm just thinking here this morning, there's 10 small cafes, restaurants here in Donegal town, and half of them could be wiped out. Mm. We have so many issues that we're facing at the moment. We have, like there's the staff shortages, the food inflation costs, taxes warehouse, the VAT issue. We've so many things that we're trying to manage, and that if there's an increase in the VAT, it will decimate our sector. I mean, just for example, right, a case of Coke has gone up 50% in a year, and you're trying all the time to kind of absorb costs as much as you can, because as you know, Donegal town is a great town. There's lots of lovely food restaurants and cafes. But we're all very competitive, so we kind of have to keep our prices at a certain level. So all the time you're absorbing, absorbing, absorbing. And if this happens, there's going to be an awful lot of places like that.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting too, decoupling restaurants from hotels. And I can see another advantage to that, because the argument about the return of the 9% VAT rate, or sorry, the return of the 13.5% VAT rate, and I've heard Leo Varadkar particularly talk about price gouging of hotels, you know, and we can't reward them, you know, if they are sort of exploiting concerts and what have you. And there's the restaurant, as you say, with one revenue income kind of being lumped into that because it is coupled with the hotel industry, which I think is unfair, because as you say, you have to really, you have to set your price just at a level to compete, and there's no gouging going on as such.
Oh, you can't price gouge because customers won't come into it. Yeah. It's that simple. Like, I had to go to Dublin Airport last Tuesday night, and I had to stay over because it was an early flight that was coming in, and I have the breakdown here in front of me. The room cost me €179. It was €17 for breakfast, €14 for parking, so €200 for the night, which I know by Dublin standards now isn't out of the way, but it's a lot.
No, we've been conditioned to think 200's cheap now because of the crazy prices,
Yeah, but do you know of any small restaurant or cafe that's charging €17
for breakfast? Not at all. You could eat like a king for 10 or 11 euro, less even,
absolutely.
But you know, that seems to be the price point for a lot of places, so dependent on the offering.
I can't see why they can't decouple or else have a different VAT rate, because we already pay a different VAT rate on food and drink, so why can't there be a different VAT rate on the rooms? And that way then you would tackle that problem that way, if they increase the VAT rate on the bedrooms and leave food alone. But we cannot be lumped in with hotels. I mean, we're still going back to the pandemic, right? They made a very bad call back then because hotels were allowed to open up before us. So they had like a 4-week advantage, which left us struggling to get staff. So last year, and I know all across the board, so many small businesses, Donegal Town, couldn't achieve the targets they wanted to achieve because of staff shortages, ourselves included. Mm-hmm. We were turning away business in July and August because we didn't have the manpower.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're still struggling on from that legacy. So to increase the VAT rate is only going to compound that.
And I know myself, there comes a tipping point, you know, whereby you decide not to go out for something to eat, or it just becomes a little bit too expensive. You know, people will set it in their own mind what it might be for a main course, dependent on their tastes and their income. So I'm not going to give figures because it's going to be different for everyone else. But I think I'm pretty normal and average. But there comes a point when two main courses and a couple of drinks at a certain price, you go, you know what, we'll leave it. And when you get to that point, it happens. It is almost like a cliff edge, and you could be forced into that. We don't know we don't know the public's reaction to the inevitable price increases.
Well, what's going to happen is if half of these small businesses go out of business, that means then you have a very small gene pool to pick from. So if you're going to be going out for a bite to eat, prices are going to increase in other places. So it's a no-win situation for anybody. Like, we want to give a nice meal at an affordable price to the customer, but it comes a stage where you're going to go, we're taking that off the menu. We've taken so many different items off the menu because you can't afford to buy them in. You can afford to buy them in, but you can't afford to pass on the cost to the customer.
Joe, is there a strong enough voice for restaurants, do you think, the restaurant sector? Because that's an unfair question, because it might mean that I'm trying to get you to criticise the group that does represent restaurants. That's not really what I'm trying to do here. But like, even the fact that you're making this argument and hairdressers are making the argument at the same time, two completely different businesses. I'm not sure whether they should or should not have a lower VAT rate. And as we say, you know, then with the hotels and then the conversations that come about the price of hotel rooms at concert times. Like, do you think the argument's been made strongly enough nationally, Joe, that hold on, we are completely different business to a great extent from these other businesses. Can we please have a separate conversation? Stop grouping restaurants in with hairdressers and hotels. It's like people that repair shoes cutting keys. It simply doesn't make sense, but it happens all the time.
Well, Adrian Cummins was on the Tonight Show last night. Now, he's very, very much an activist. But I think because we don't have the same volume of revenue that hotels would have, that we don't matter as much. Like, we're all small, little independent businesses. I don't think we matter as much. I think you can let so many go to the wall, take the hit. But no, I think as a sector, we should be coming together more and shouting about this, because it's the small businesses that look at that support the community. I mean, there's not a week that goes past, and I'm sure every other little small business around Donegal town, restaurants and cafes, that you aren't approached for sponsorship. And you're delighted to be able to do it, because you want to be able to help your community, support your community. But massive big hotel chains in Dublin and stuff like that, are they doing the same thing? Are they supporting their community? We need to be looked after.
And
we
in real terms, the people that you employ, regardless of the size of the business, they've got families to look after in some cases. They've got mortgages to pay 100%. Or rent to pay. Or if they're younger people, they have to make up the college. Gaps in the funding for college. You know, if a business closes, even a small business with 4, 5, 6 staff, the ripples of that go far and wide. It affects an awful lot of people. That business is as important as a hotel that employs 600 people to the individual.
Well, I'm just thinking of ourselves in Key West. There's 5 mortgages being paid out of it.
There you go. Yeah.
Or being helped pay. There you go, you see. And that's what happens then. You know, where do these people go? And not only just that then, but from a point of view of life skills, the young people that are coming in and getting trained up and getting valuable life skills from the hospitality business, which they're not going to get anywhere else. You know, they're learning how to be team leaders and to be customer face and all those soft skills that are so important. What's going to happen then? Where are they going to go?
Yeah, and of course, restaurants are standalone businesses. So, there are other people operating in the food sector that have other elements, a bar or rooms that maybe they can price a certain way, break even on the restaurant, make up the money elsewhere. Do you know? So it's not a level playing field for necessarily anyway, even to begin with.
And it's not. And then, see, the food sector, you know, our sector, the food is a highly perishable good. So, you mean it is a risky business to be in, and anyone that's thinking about going into the food business, I would honestly say to them,
think
long and hard. I would advise against. And in hindsight, when if I had an opportunity, I wouldn't be in the food business.
Wow. But it's that's like the environment. But that's the environment you happen to operate in. You know, if it were a better operating environment and more supports, and you felt like your business was being supported, it would probably be more of a pleasure.
Yeah, well, I mean, I enjoy what I do. I love dealing with the public. Mm. That's my passion. I just love it. I really, really enjoy my job. But from a business point of view, and for personal security, long-term security, I wouldn't be in this business if I could roll back the clock.
All right, anyway, Joe, thank you. People, the Key West restaurant there is just opposite the beautiful Key in, just off the Diamond in Donegal Town. If you're in that area or down that way, Joe would love to see you, I'm sure. Joe, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, Greg. Really appreciate it.
All right,
cheers.
Take care. Bye-bye. Joe Daly, co-owner of Key West Restaurant in Donegal Town. That being said, Irish people, although they say Irish people spent more money in pubs, restaurants and hotels in the month of June, are they separating out the tourism industry there? Spending in pubs rose by 28% last month, peaking on June 24th. That's the day of the Dublin Pride Parade. The IAB spend trend figures showed a slowdown in people booking airline travel compared to May, with those aged 65 and over accounting for the biggest decrease, down 10%. The data was compiled from 70 million debit and credit card transactions in store and online during June 2023. Look at you all out having a few bevvies in June. Lucky ducks. Right, okay. We'll be back with our next guest after this short break. All right, so there are 4 concerts planned for Ebrington Square in August. Dance events, Stack Rave Raves, 5th of August, ABBA Tribute Gig. 6th of August, Ryan McMullen's due to play the 25th of August. There's a dance festival on the 27th of August. But those concerts are in doubt. Gary Middleton is the full DUP Assembly member and joins us now. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning.
So what has led us to this situation? I mean, obviously these concerts had some level of okay or approval because they're scheduled and I presume tickets are available, but now there's question marks over them taking place at all. Can you give our listeners an understanding as to what's going on here?
Yeah, so effectively in recent days, the promoters received a letter from the executive office stating that the approval that they had originally received actually would be withdrawn. That was based on the threat of legal action against the executive office. So unfortunately that is the case now. What we've been advising ticket holders or those who purchased tickets for the events is to wait until they hear from the promoters. The executive office have said, and we know that conversations are still ongoing to try and ensure that these events can go ahead, but unfortunately for some of those, particularly the event which is due to happen in 2 weeks' time, it now looks that it's going to be unfortunately too late for them.
Who is objecting, Gary?
Well, the letter doesn't name the particular party. However, we know that it's a tenant at Everington Square. And in fairness to that particular tenant, which is the Everington Hotel, they have made it very clear that they themselves are not against events happening, whether now or in the future. However, they do have concerns about particular issues such as awareness of when these events are taking place and proper notice as well so that they can plan going forward. But I think that in all of this, it's important that whatever process is in place, that it's robust enough to ensure that, you know, we don't have a situation where just a matter of weeks from events happening that they can be prevented from happening at such short notice.
Yeah, but the problem is that there's been a great deal of investment to make Eberington Square this nice space to provide, opportunities for hosting such events. And of course, then, you can understand really where the hotel might be coming from. But is this a planning issue? Did someone not think, right, we're going to spend quite a bit of money on this square to host these types of events, and we're also going to, allow this hotel to operate? I mean, there's always going to be difficult there because of noise and everything else. You can see the logic to why the two can't sit comfortably as it stands.
Yeah, well, I think they can, but unfortunately on this occasion, it seems to be a failure of the process. And there are particular checks and balances put in place, of course, to protect not only tenants in the area, but residents in the area as well. And we have seen since 2013, when we were awarded the City of Cutshire year, the success that events have had and the benefits that they've had in terms of Everington Square. Going forward, I think that the issue here is around ensuring that there's proper dialogue and communication between the tenants and the promoters and obviously the people who are purchasing the tickets as well. So it is regrettable that we're in this situation. However, it can and should be fixed going forward.
Yeah, because there are other businesses that would benefit greatly and would benefit and do benefit greatly from hosting these types of events. Do you think going forward the right systems and protocols can be put in place to allow events to be hosted on Eberington Square, or do you believe it's time maybe to look at an alternative venue for such events?
Well, I think it can be a mixture of both of those things. I think that, yes, of course, the correct procedures can be put in place, but it's ensuring that the people are given timely notice of when events are happening, but also in terms of looking at other spaces. Of course, that's an option as well, and that's one which needs to be pursued, particularly given the proximity to the city centre. What we can't allow is a situation where a space such as Everington, which is paid for by the public, taxpayer, the ratepayer, that space should be an area which can't be used. Of course, we need to ensure that it needs to be used to its full potential.
And there is, its full potential is limited, isn't it? There's a certain amount of events that are held there annually. So already, this is not a weekly occurrence to inconvenience those that might object. There is limits, isn't there?
There are limits, and at the minute, a number of the tenants at Everington Square, as part of their contract, they know that there's a minimum of 5 events per year. So it's not a case of something being there every weekend. We know that there's been a mixture of events which have been successful. The BBC Antique Roadshow was coming up very shortly, and that's quite popular. There's other car and vintage rallies that take place. Those things will continue as normal. We do need to ensure that when there's events, particularly those which are bringing in thousands of people, vast numbers of people, that they're allowed to go ahead, but with of course with the knowledge and the support of the tenants as well.
Have you any concern, and not necessarily talking about this specific case, Gary, have you any concern, though, that the executive can be so easily swayed by the threat of litigation, i.e. the expense of defending it or contesting it or discussing it? I mean, that have you any concerns that the executive is so easily not manipulated? That's the wrong word. But, you know, we can't test this. We don't know the ins and outs because the executive says, right, we can't afford to fund a defence of this or to even engage in it, so we might pull the pin on these events altogether.
Yes, and of course I have concerns, and that's why we're now in this position, because the process was not robust enough. The process was not right, and it wasn't thorough. And unfortunately, we have a situation where there's sort of been a breakdown there in terms of that communication piece, and that's why we find ourselves in this position. But that can easily be rectified going forward, because we see in other cities such as Belfast, where the customised square operates, they have a long-established festivals which take place there without any issues. We can do the same at Ebrington Square, but again, it needs to be based on a solid foundation of a process which everybody understands and it's clear, and that everybody's getting the same message as a result of that. So I do have concerns, but again, I am hopeful that those can be rectified going forward, learning from this very unfortunate set of circumstances.
All right, Gary, thanks for your time this morning. That's Gary Middleton, the Foyle DUP Assembly member. Any views on that, if you're WhatsApping or texting from Derry, 00353 86 60 25000, 00353 86 60 25000, or if you want to give us a call, it's 00353 74 91 25000. Just take a deep breath. Okay. Hopefully a solution is found to that, because there's some brilliant acts coming to Derry, not least the aforementioned there. Something for everyone there, it would seem. All right, good morning, Annie, Mary Jo, Beth, Patrick, Rosemary, Michael, amongst the many of you watching the show. Just to remind you, as I like to once a day, not at the start of the programme too, because I thought it became a bit boring, but anyway, that you can watch this show at your leisure, when we're on air live, between 9 and 12 every day on our Facebook, our YouTube channel, Highland Radio Ireland. You can watch on your phone, your tablet, laptop, your smart TV, which most of them have the YouTube app. If it's a smart TV, it has it. Or on your Fire Stick. Lots of you have those for very good reasons, I'm sure. You can also watch on Highland Radio Facebook page. That's Highland Hub or Highland Radio News and Sport. And there's a Watch Live link on our website, so you can watch in your browser there. On the social media, there's a better opportunity for you to engage and interact with us, which we really appreciate. We've got a good morning from Rosemary and a good night from Rosemary as well. I'm not sure if you've switched time zones or it was a spelling error to begin with, but Rosemary, either way, whether it's morning or night for you, we are glad to have you on board. We received an email from a listener asking for some advice on a situation she's currently facing, and it reads as follows. God knows if this will be any good, but I'm going to share my story, Greg, and see if anything comes from it. Me and my husband were together for 15 years and both were desperate for a child. We attempted 3 rounds of IVF, but it failed. The stress and fighting was getting far too much, so we then separated. It's been 2 years since the divorce and I still want to be a mother. I've told friends I will attempt IVF by myself, but they told me that it isn't right and that it's a moral obligation to provide a child with a father. Come on, with today's mix of what constitutes a family, me being a single parent is perfectly manageable. Why are they making me feel so self-absorbed? Any advice would be greatly appreciated. There's plenty of ways to for a child to have a man's influence in their life. It doesn't necessarily have to be a father influence. There's lots of people raised without one parent and are perfectly fine. I would prefer if your friends would give you a bit more support. Maybe you need to look at your friends' group. I know it's easier said than done, but so we put this on our social media as well to try and get some advice to this listener. Before I read the social media responses, just open it up to you out there. She's separated from her husband now. She still yearns to be a mum. She's tempted to go down the IVF route by herself with donor sperm, I presume. But she's not getting the support from friends and family. They are saying it's a moral obligation to provide a child with a father. But then again, no father's better than a bad father as well, or mother for that matter. But anyway, listen, does it matter what I think? Let's see what our listeners think. Lynn said she needs new friends. Lots of single mums and dads out there for many different reasons, and they do just fine, as do their kids. Kids need to be safe and loved. If she can provide that, then she should go for it. Arlene said no one has a right to dictate what's right for anyone, especially in a situation such as this. Their opinions are irrelevant. No one understands the want and longing for a child, especially if they already have children. Don't waste any time. Go do what your heart is longing for. Leave them people behind you. I sincerely hope and pray it all works out for you. And I get it. And but you see, maybe if you're going into something like that alone, you sort of say, well, I'm going to do it on my own and that's fine. But, you know, at least if times get tough, I'll have the support of my friends and my family. And maybe then you start wobbling going, well, if my friends are speaking to me like this now, will they be there just a shoulder to lean on? So maybe that's also a factor. I agree with most of the comments so far, though. Another, true friends would support you no matter what. Don't let other people's opinions put you off what you truly want. It's your life to live. Live it to suit you and no one else. Sounds like you'd give a child a loving home and be amazing, mammy. Grace said, would you think about fostering a child? Donegal needs foster carers so much, or even adoption. And no, a child doesn't need to have two parents. Best of luck, whatever you decide to do. And Mark said, what strange friends you have. All right, so a selection of comments there, all in support of that listener. And as I say, if you want any help with a dilemma like that, we're more than happy to anonymise it, of course, and put it out there for the public to offer their views. And more people of you are engaging with us in that regard. So email comments at highlandradio.com. And we'll post it out there and you can get a range of views, anything like that at all. Any, you know, life dilemmas, moral dilemmas, social dilemmas, you know yourself. We'll see if we can help. Okay, in studio with me now is John Brown, who is General Manager of the Silver Tassie Hotel and Spa. Hi, John.
Good morning, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, congratulations to you and the team. The team at the Silver Tassie were recently nominated by the public in the Irish Hospitality Awards. The awards ceremony took place recently and they won Hotel Team of the Year 2023. It's great to get that kind of an endorsement for you, of course, but also for the hard-working staff as well.
I'm actually delighted for the staff. As any business will tell you, without your staff, you're nothing at all. So I'm delighted, and especially after the last couple of years. It's been a tough couple of years, especially for anyone in the hospitality sector, opening and closing with COVID and everything out there, short-staffed, everything. And the work that they've put in for the last year or so is absolutely delighted us, management, everything out there, and we're delighted for them.
In the terms of post-COVID, does it feel now we're fully out the other side, or is there still a hangover from it?
Slight hangover now, starting to see the light. This is probably now the last month or two we're actually starting to kind of get back on our tracks and back on our feet and feel like we're back to pre-normal, as I would say, COVID times. So it's great to kind of be back as we are now.
Yeah, we were chatting to Joe Daly earlier on about the possibility of the 9%, well, it's probably the likelihood of the 9% VAT rate returning to 13.5%. What kind of an impact that will that have on business operations from your perspective, John? Is it a big hit?
It's a big hit. It's a worry now, obviously. And as you said, more than likely, at the minute, the Dáil's on holiday, so nothing's going to be done until 9 weeks till they come back, and more than likely the budget. So as Joe said earlier on, it's in the trade, it is tight margins, so it is, and the rise of food costs, energy, heat, everything has come to a stage now where it's a case of, can you raise your prices anymore? Or as you mentioned earlier on, people are only going to spend some.
There's a
point where people are going to say enough.
People have an notional idea in head of what a starter is, how far they will go, what main courses.
Yeah.
And I've had this conversation with people out there.
Yeah.
We just could be heading in that direction now.
I think we are heading in that direction. Like I said, it's kind of case that people don't, as everyone knows, their own shopping bills, everything out there, the spare change in the pocket's not there anymore to go out and socialise as much. So when people do go out, they want to make sure they're getting value, everything they got there. And it's very difficult. And I think we're kind of at a tipping point where if the VAT rate goes up, obviously either price is going to have to increase, staff are going to have to decrease. And we're at that stage now where I think it's make or break, so it is.
Okay. And no more so than, you know, restaurants might feel that it's not fair that they're grouped with hotels.
Yeah.
But then you have hotels in the Northwest probably feel it's not fair that they may be being grouped with other hotels in very populated areas, close to concert venues. that have a very different sort of operating model than the TASI might have. Yes. You cannot all of a sudden raise the prices of all your rooms
no, definitely
to 450, no. 500, no. 600. You know
I
what
wish
I mean?
We could, but we couldn't.
No, well, you can't, John. No, but you know what I mean? No. So there's different sections within the industry and different sections within sections of that industry.
And all the media is at the minute, it's like anything, one or two bad eggs, it spoils it for everyone.
Yeah.
Likes of Dublin at the minute, I'm sure, €300-€500 for a room for a night. But
And then you get stories of people were clever, got an early booking in, then that booking's cancelled and their rooms put back up. But as I say, that is specific to certain parts of the sector. Yeah. Weddings is a big part of your business. Is there anything over the years that has dramatically changed? Like I think maybe one of them is it people having their. People can have their service in your hotel?
We're licensed to.
Are you seeing more of that now?
We're seeing more of that. There civil services in the hotel where everything's in the one venue. Some people want to move away from traditional church style wedding, and so majority of venues now would be set up and catered for, as I say, the whole civil service area where you have the whole thing in the venue on the day, and it goes very well. As I said, a lot of people enjoy it. So they do.
Is it percentage wise? Is it? I presume it's more than it was, but. Is it? It's not the norm yet. No,
not the norm yet. I would say it's probably 5 to 10% of weddings
which is
now,
significant,
which
isn't
is a significant number now compared. If you went back 5 to 10 years, it was virtually 0%. I'd say. Whereas you're finding it more and more now as it's starting to come in.
Yeah, and what else is changing in terms of what the bride and groom want, or what is there trends and fashion within the whole industry?
Always have trends and fashion. As it changes from year to year. But I always often say to couples, if you get the basics right, as I say, obviously your venue, your church or whatever you're having your ceremony in, and then obviously your food and entertainment, that's the basics that what everybody will always remember a wedding on come the Monday morning, whether it was good or not. You have certain things like photo booths and different decor options, drapes, things like that there. But that's the basis, as I say, of a very good wedding.
Mm. And in terms of booking weddings, the nature of it, because there's an engagement often, and is that you kind of have to, if you want a certain venue, you need to sort of be getting in there. So you still have dates for 24, 25, but still I presume the book's filling up.
Oh, the book's filling up. As I say, we've still 20 dates for 24, 25, and just the past week there, we've got our first few inquiries for 2026 as well. So there's always dates there. As we always say, obviously the peak months, your June, July, August time always fill up very fast. But as I always say to anyone, if you're flexible with dates, you'll nearly always find a date in your favourite venue, wherever it is.
Yeah. Friday and Saturdays, is that the main days?
Thursday, Friday and Saturdays.
Thursday, Friday,
especially during the summer months. Like some of us now, I know we have weddings every Thursday, Friday and Saturday now, right up until the middle of October.
Right.
So
Thursdays have become a Thursday wedding.
Thursdays have become very popular, especially for a lot of ones, it suits one's holiday times or shift workers, things they get there.
And so I suppose with enough notice, you know, people can book Friday off if they're lucky enough to have the weekends off. Mm-hmm. And in terms of how you go about booking a wedding, right? Yeah. So say I'm thinking, right, the Silver Tassie might be a good spot. Like, who do I speak to? Do you have teams that work with people and say, well, this is what we can offer. We've got that room or this room.
We have a dedicated wedding coordinator, Georgina, there, who's always on hand. So basically, from the first contact until you're nearly put to bed at night time and the night of the wedding, she's there constantly.
She'll get you as far as the door anyway.
Well done, time now. They tucked in. But no, normally it'd be just a consultation, first of all, come in and show you the venue. And the main thing is to see what the couple themselves want.
Yeah.
Because package A, package B mightn't suit a couple, whereas we would find we can tailor packages to suit the couple and suit what they want themselves, because everybody wants something different and everyone has their own idea in the head, and it's trying to just make that idea come through.
I'd be terrible, because I'd be like, I don't mind. Whatever you think yourself, do that.
Well, that's actually nearly worse than somebody coming in that knows what they want.
Absolutely everything, I know. And in terms of the booking of DJs and bands, that's down to the couple, isn't it?
That would normally be down to the couple. We would always say we'd recommend bands, but we'd always, and DJs and so on, but we'd always recommend for the couple themselves to go see them.
Yeah.
Because my taste in music is completely different to your taste in music, and every couple is going to want a certain style of music.
And I think too, whatever they book has to match the sort of maybe the demographic and size of the crowd as
Certainly,
well.
Certainly, yeah. Certainly. Like, you have everything.
Because you can go and see something in a 800 people at it and you think, wow, this is amazing. Yeah, but how would that work with a 250 grand?
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
You have to factor those things in, don't you?
Exactly. And we're in a lucky position, the likes of ourselves. Our banqueting suite can be divided up for smaller weddings. Yeah. And we have a few other smaller areas in the hotel for likes of maybe up to 50 people, up to 150, up to 200, and up to, as you say, 400 or 500 people.
And the spa's going well for you too?
The spa's going very well as well, so it is now. Okay. As I say, very, very busy, thankfully.
All right, John. Well, listen, congratulations again to you and all the team at the Silver Tassie. It's great to get this type of an award. Great for the region as well, because, you know, I mean, obviously there's a lot of local weddings, but then people call in and visit from outside the region as well. Yeah. And there's a spend not just in the hotel, but in the wider area as well. Yeah. All right, John, listen, again, congratulations.
Thank you very much, Greg.
Thank you very much for joining us. John Brown, General Manager there of the Silver Tassie Hotel and Spa. Okay, some comments as we head towards news at 11. My neighbours kindly planted 14 large shrubs in the communal area of our estate on Wednesday. Yesterday we discovered they were all gone, stolen. We wanted to put it out there that we have CCTV footage from a nearby home and find it pretty sad and alarming that this person would spend the time doing something so bizarre, and we hope they're doing okay. That comes in from a person in Elm Park, Buncrana. Another, hi, can I make a comment? My daughter goes to the CI Hub, it's the CI Hub in Letterkenny. She's got a mild learning disability and has went into every premises in Letterkenny for work, looking for one day work experience. Not one got back to her, so disappointed or disappointing. So maybe there's a business out there. Sometimes these things don't make it as far as the manager. So this is a lady's daughter with a mild learning disability. That's how mom described it. She goes to the CI Club Hub in Letterkenny and is looking for one day's work experience. Maybe someone out there can get in touch with us and we can put you together. Greg, went to tax my van yesterday. It was queued to the door. All our councillors stepping about like prize pups with their tea and coffee. Not one of them could see the problem. The size of the place and two lanes open. I should have filmed it. The amount of people doing nothing, says that listener. These people better get used to this because all small businesses are going to be wiped off the map. Make no mistake of this. It's on the cards, full stop. Another, hi, Greg. I'm now in my 60s. I'm 60-ish. I go back 50 years. We could walk through the hills, have great sun like we had in June and hear the larks singing. And when it rained, it used to bounce off the footpaths and the thunder and lightning is what we are getting now. So what is it all about? I don't know, but the world heating up doesn't mean hotter necessarily. But I don't know. I don't know. Do you see the change yourself, or are you saying that you don't see a change?